ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः यदि विद्या खनु गीता जगत्प्रारब्धघातिनि तदास्यान्नत्तुमायत्व बोधेन तरपभ्नवः यदि विद्या अपनुवीत जगत् प्रारब्ध घातिनि तदा स्यात् न तु मायत्व बोधेन तत् अपनवः. This section is dealing with the relationship between prarabdha and knowledge. And the question is this: does knowledge, if one were to get knowledge, does that negate the experience of the prarabdha karma? This is Vidyaranya's argument here, right? If you were to have knowledge, is the prarabdha karma negated, or does the experience of the prarabdha karma negate your knowledge? Both ways it's going. So here he's dealing with the relationship of knowledge to the prarabdha karma. Just like this. If knowledge were to hide, yes, it's kind of a different word that we don't usually use, apanuvita, if it were to hide or to cover the jagat, if for instance you gain knowledge, the jagat disappears, right? So if the vidya, if the knowledge were to cover the jagat, then of course, or to hide the jagat, make it go away, then of course that would destroy ghatini beings. It would be a destroyer of the prarabdha. Right? The knowledge comes, the jagat goes away. The jagat disappears. If the jagat disappears with knowledge, then of course there's that knowledge will destroy your prarabdha karma. So that of course would be a problem. As you start to realize, you'll all disappear, right? As you gain knowledge.
He's enlightened.
Okay. If that should be tadasyat, then that would happen, right? Tadasyat means, yeah, then that would happen. He said, but not to. That's not true. He says, but tad apanavaha. That, it doesn't hire, the mayat prabodhena, by the knowledge of the mityatva, of this being maya, that the jagat, the creation is maya. Because when you gain knowledge, self-knowledge, you realize jagat satyam. Jagat mitya. You realize the satyam and the mitya. You realize the self is the satyam, is the reality, this creation is mitya. That this is all maya. So it says, maya prabodhena. By this knowledge of this all being maya, right? He says, by that knowledge, there is no disappearance of the creation. Okay? You recognize that this is all maya. Creation doesn't disappear. He says, that doesn't happen. Since that doesn't happen, he says, the prarabdha is not destroyed. Right? Does this make sense? Okay. I want to see if I can say anything more about that before we... He's going to build on this with the next verse, so let me just think about it for a minute. We'll get a little bit into this in the next verse, but there's something to... there's a question that comes up between the relationship of knowledge and maya, based upon the drishtantas, the illustrations that we use. For instance, when we use the rope snake illustration, right, which is actually a very important illustration, it's a very important drishtanta for understanding this knowledge. Okay? But when I gain knowledge of the rope, say I've mistaken a rope for a snake, when I gain knowledge of the rope, the snake actually disappears, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's no more there to be experienced. And so there is no more, if we stick on this drishtanta, there is no more experience of the rope. There's no more experience of the maya. You remove the ajnanam, right, from the rope. Now you see the rope. You've removed the ajnanam, you've removed the ignorance. The snake disappears. So now here, in this creation, if this creation is in the same way, maya, say maya upadhi, I gain knowledge of the satyam, of the truth, of the rope. And if the atma is the truth of this jagat, if it's the truth of the mind, if it's the truth of the upadhi, when I gain that knowledge, then the maya should disappear. Right? See the problem? And so, and the problem is born of that drishtanta, so we have to be careful here for understanding what is exactly is the difference. And the difference has to do with what we call vyavaharika satyam and pratibhasika satyam. Vyavaharika satyam is what we call Ishvara Srishti. Ishvara Srishti means creation. Ishvara is creation. Ishvara's creation means there's an objective reality of which this body, mind, sense organs is a part. In other words, this body, mind, sense organs, did not create this creation. It's not solipsism, where my body, my mind is responsible for the projection of the creation. As opposed to my mind is responsible for the projection of the snake. It's pratibhasika. It's subjective reality. And so when I gain, I'm responsible for that creation. I'm a little Ishwara of the snake, in a sense, right? So when I gain knowledge of the rope, since that's my projection, and I gain knowledge of the rope, the projection will go away. Because it's my projection. The projection's coming out of my mind. Ishwara Srishti, this creation, is not coming out of the jiva's mind. Right? The Ishwara Srishti, the jiva's mind, body, sense organs, is included in the Ishvara Srishti. See what I mean? Now, when that's the case, when the jiva gains knowledge of the satyam, of the atma, which in fact is the atma, is Brahman, is the atma of the whole Ishvara Srishti, right? You gain that knowledge. And at the same time, in gaining the knowledge, you see clearly, you recognize clearly that the body, the mind, the sense organs, and the whole jagat is mitya. It has for its being the satyam, which is the self. That relationship becomes very clear. But in the recognition of that, in the gain of that knowledge of the satyam, mitya, the maya, upadhi, all of that, why doesn't the maya upadhi go away? Why doesn't the snake of the creation of the jagat go away? See what I mean? Because here, in the rope snake, it does go away. It's because the Ishvara Srishti, the Lord's creation, is the Lord's Bhagavan's projection. It's the projection of the whole from the Maya Upadhi, of which this body, mind, sense organs are a part. And what is so incredible here is that here the jiva gains knowledge, but the jiva itself is already in Ishvara Srishti, is in the Lord's creation. The body is part of Ishvara Srishti. This mind is part of Ishvara Srishti. I mean, the upadhi itself, sense organs, part of Ishvara Srishti. And so when you gain knowledge of it, it's not going to disappear because you're not the creator of it. Right? The jiva is not the creator of it. So, now, what that means is that you get to recognize and experience your prarabdha karma and all of your sense perception, all of whatever the machinations of the mind. You experience all of that because you're not the creator of it, so it's not going to go away, right? Until the prarabdha runs out. The prarabdha has to run out. As long as the prarabdha is here, this body will be here because it's part of Ishvara Srishti. So that's all going to be experienced. What is no longer experienced, like the snake, there's going to be a part that's the snake. Okay. So the snake part is going to go away. The snake part is your own subjective projection, born of ignorance, that is superimposed upon the Ishvara Srishti. The jiva's projection, right? The kartritvam, the bhoktritvam, the doership, the enjoyership, the superimposition of ananda on all of the objects of the creation, all of this avidya born, all of this ignorance born relationship with the creation, all of that does go away. Because that's part of the jiva's projection that is born of the ajnana. So some of it, the pratibhasika projection goes away, but the vyavaharika, the empirical reality part, does not go away. And so there's always some kind of question around this, some confusion around this. Like, for instance, some people who are in certain forms of yoga will think that to be enlightened, so to speak, means that we, and he'll be discussing this, you have to go into like a nirvikalpa samadhi where the creation has gone away. Right? Because after all, you are Brahman, and Advaita, Brahman is the only reality. Right? And so if Brahman is the only reality, then I shouldn't be experiencing, if I know that, I shouldn't be experiencing this. That's the problem. That's why the satyam mitya has to be understood so thoroughly. So you have to grasp this, because actually, just because all of these nama rupas are here, if you understand the satya mitya relationship, all of these names and forms can be here, and it's still absolutely advaita, because the self, the being of all of these names and forms, is only one. It's always been the illustration like the wave ocean. Right? If you have an ocean, it has countless waves of all different sizes and forms. That's a creation with many, the ocean stands for the creation with many, many, many different names and forms, all diversity in terms of the waves. And so there we've got our dvaita, duality. But that duality is a mitya duality, because in fact there is only one water there. That's a drishtanta, that's an illustration. There's no duality, there's only water. It's not like the wave, the hundreds of waves have any independent being apart from the water. No matter how big and how diverse the waves are, they have no independence. That's the mitya for. That's what makes it mitya, is that it has no reality of its own. It's totally dependent on the satyam, which is the water. And so here we have this creation through having an upadhi through this body, mind, sense organs. We experience this creation. Does that mean there's duality? It would only be dual if there was a separate being. If there was dvaita, if there was duality in the being of it itself. You know, like here's a little chunk of, here's one being here, here's one being here, here's one being here. But if all of this has for its being only one, then it's advaita. The names and forms, if they're mitya, doesn't mean anything to the advaita, to the non-duality. You know, they use sometimes a similar to the wave ocean a little bit, maybe in some ways nicer. If you have one of these bas relief sculptures, if you have a big block of clay, and in that block of clay you carve an intricate design of many different people and animals and activity. Like I said, you can carve a city, an active city street with shopkeepers and all kinds of things going on in that bas relief. clay sculpture. It can seem so active with so many different characters, but actually there's only one clay. That's satyam mitya. You know, each character, as intricate as it may be, is only clay. That's all. And that's art. And that, say, if you take one basque relief character so intricate with all different clothes on, and you can see all the muscle tone, all of the structural features, of the eyes are so clear, the ears are so clear, it's all, you know, wonderfully differentiated. But as differentiated as it may be, it's still only clay. There isn't one part of it that isn't clay. That's a dvaita. Because the nama rupa, the names and forms, have no being apart from the clay. That's our situation here. This is the situation that needs to be recognized, because right here, right now, with your eyes open, with your ears hearing, with your sense of touch, with the perception of all of this multidimensional duality, including your perceptions and whatever emotional life is going on at the same time, and all, multi-processing going on in the brain, so many different things, levels of reality happening all at the same time. All of that is happening, all of that changing phenomena is taking place in one satyam. All of it, everything that is changing, coming and going, modifying, is modifying in something which is not modifying. All of the modifications, all of the comings and goings are taking place in something which is not coming and going. Something which is totally pervasive to it, which is its very self, its very being. It's the water, it's the clay, it's the basque relief, you know. It's what is actually invariably there. And that which is invariably there is me. It has to be me. It has to be the very conscious being, you know, which is the core, the center of all experience that there is. Any experience that you have, like here now we have the experience of this room, my being, myself, is the very center of this experience. And it's the changeless center. You can do all kinds of little experiments to make yourself recognize the stability of your own self. It's an amazing thing. Like even if you look at, like if I take a view of this side of the room, I have one scene here, right? But if I go like this, the scene has totally changed, right? This, isn't that true? This scene is totally changed by this scene, is totally changed by this scene, is totally changed by this scene, right? And it's the same, I can do it, I can do that, that's doing it with the sense organs open to the world. I can do this exactly the same thing if I just shut my eyes and then think thoughts. Let the thought flow go. One thought, you know, totally negates the next thought, totally negates the next thought, totally negates the next thought. Just like this scene totally is negated by this scene, is negated by this scene, is negated by this scene. Same with thoughts, with emotions, one thing totally negates, not partially, it totally negates. Totally displaces. But of course, So obvious that we don't notice it, there is something that is never displaced, and that is my own presence, in which all of these other things are displaced. But my own presence is never, not only is it not displaced, it's not touched. Absolutely nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's not covered, it's not touched. It's not manipulated, it's not maneuvered, nothing happens to it at all. But for the Ajnani, the mind is so involved in its focus is only on the changing phenomena, thinking about, wondering about, cogitating on the changing phenomena, or my emotional experiences. You know, or projecting into the future. It's lost in the mitya. It's lost it's lost, its focus is always only on the nama-rupa, on the different things that are taking place. And so it hasn't bothered, it hasn't occurred to the mind until it does, to notice the one in whom all of this is taking place. And that one is changeless, is constant, is whole, is complete, is free from need. It just has to be noticed. The Upanishad makes you notice it. The Upanishad is like a mirror that holds, it's a pramana, it's a mirror that holds itself up to your being to make the mind, that point you through the use of words, you know, it makes the mind turn around in a sense and recognize me, the one who is always here. And that me is, you recognize it not as a me over there and the mind over here, me over there, the world over here. We need to recognize the satya mitya of it. Like you don't say, the wave is over here and the water is over here, the pot's over here, you know, the clay's over here. They're both in exactly the same place, right? And actually, there's only one thing that is really there. That is the very being of the whole thing. So that's what needs to be recognized. And in this recognition of the mayat maya, the satya mitya of this, there is no need for the maya to go away. I don't require this experience to go away in order to recognize myself. It's just like with the clay pot. You don't tell the, you know, pot, you have to resolve yourself, go away. You go away so that I can experience the clay. Or we look at over at the ocean. We need to get rid of the names and forms, all the waves, you have to go away now so that I can see the water. Nothing has to go away. Nothing has to go away. I just have to recognize. I have to recognize because both are there at the same. Both are there, and in fact, you know, like when I, it's even ludicrous when I say, "Oh, both are there." You know, the clay is there and the pot is there. Are both there? The clay and the pot. We can talk like that, but in the end, you have to say the clay and the pot are there, but really, there's only clay. Everyone says, "Yeah, yeah." I said. I can say, you know, the world is here and I am there, but really there's only me. You have to be able to go, yes, I know. I know what you mean. That's a little bigger. It's a bit, little bigger jump than the clay pot. Right? But if you can understand the clay pot and the rope snake, then you can understand this. Right? If you can understand that satya mitya, because in fact you don't go away. You don't change. That's a fact. And because that is a fact, and it is you, and everything else is changing, the mitya is changing, it is coming and going, you can differentiate. The mind can differentiate. You can say, oh, you know, look at me, I'm thinking and I'm coming and going. And the conscious me, that is the very self of the thinking mind, the me, is not coming and going, is not changing. That's aparoksha. It's directly, immediately you. It's just the truth of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so there's no distance between you and the recognition of that. It's not like you have to, and these are just notions that come to us, yogic type notions. Okay, now, how can I, let me meditate. Let me go into a meditative state in order to travel to some subtle plane so that I can have this experience. That is such a problem. Because what you are seeking is here right now as much as it is there in whatever subtle plane you're traveling to. Right? So you have to be able to actually recognize the self that is here as well as in the subtle plane that you've just traveled to. Because if you think that it's in the subtle plane that you've traveled to and not here, then you're in the mitya. Then you're lost. You're still in samsara. Right? So these are kind of the tricky little things because of confusions that have been kind of passed down. we have to straighten all of those. We have to straighten all of those things out. You know, it's the same in understanding in this whole satya mitya. In understanding, okay, I have a dukkha vritti, sorrowful vritti, and I have a sukha vritti. Emotions are, in terms of the reality, the vyavahara, this world that we experience, what seems the most real to us always is our emotions, because of sukha and dukkha, pleasure and pain. And we don't want to be hurt. Pain hurts. Right, so emotions have more of a charge. And so our mind is always focused on manipulating the environment so that I have the positive spectrum of emotions and not the negative spectrum, right, of emotions. So we're always concerned about that. But because of that concern, you know, it stops us from recognizing the self that is as much present in the dukkha vritti as it is in the sukha vritti. Because we don't think about that because we're so intent on getting rid of the dukkha vritti for good reason. It causes pain. And so we want to get rid of it. So we don't really even want to know. we don't really care. And the teacher says, well, you know, the Atma is there in your dukkha vritti. When all you're thinking is, yeah, but I don't want the dukkha vritti. You know?
Go away.
That's right. The energy is on getting rid of the dukkha vritti, on getting rid of the sorrow. You don't necessarily want to hear that, you know what? Enjoy the Atma in that sorrowful state. But it's actually very, very important to recognize that fact. And in fact, you can use your dukkha vrittis, not that we want them, but you can use the sorrowful vrittis to recognize that in fact, just like the pot, the happy pot doesn't cover the clay any more than the sad pot covers the clay. You know? It really doesn't. And that is something that needs to be recognized. That the Atma, the Satyam, is as much present in its own swarupa, in its own nature, in the dukkha vritti as in the sukha vritti. It's not like the dukkha vritti comes and puts like a black bag over the Atma, so that the Atma is hidden. The Atma isn't hidden. The Atma is the very self of the dukkha vritti and the very self of the sukha vritti. And so, when next time you have a dukkha vritti, remember this. And let the mind just become self-reflective a little bit. And notice that there's going to be the nama-rupa in the form of dukkha, and the content, your own being, which is illuminating and is the very self of that. And see if you can ferret out the difference. To recognize that in that dukkha, yourself that is illumining it is exactly the same as the self that is there in the middle of the sukha vritti illumining it. It's just the sukha vritti is giving a positive experience, emotional experience, all mithya, but positive, negative. We want the positive. I'm not making a judgment on that. We all are going toward the pleasurable. But the point here is to be able to recognize the changelessness, the changeless fullness, the changeless wholeness that is there uncovered in any type of duality, any experience of duality that is there. And when the mind recognizes that, what it awakens to is a changeless abiding home that it can rest in, you know, a refuge. The very Atma is a changeless refuge, the changeless truth of all of these different modifications that the creation and the mind are going through. And that gives the mind some tremendous relief. So, recognizing the satyam, it continues to experience the nitya without any problem. So here, in just in this verse, it says, the verse says, if the vidya, if the knowledge were to hide the creation, then of course, you know, the whole experience of prarabdha and everything, that would just disappear with knowledge, which is not our case. So it says, since that is not, that's not true, what actually happens is that there is no covering of the creation. The creation doesn't get, isn't hidden by knowledge, by the knowledge of its, of it being maya. It's not hidden. You have the knowledge of it being maya, but the maya doesn't disappear. Right? In terms of Ishwar Srishti, it doesn't disappear. And for that reason, the prarabdha causes you to go on experiencing your life, the life that is going to take you from birth to death. And all of the bhoga, all of the positive and negative experiences that that life will give, will be something that, that you experience. Right? Your knowledge isn't going to get rid of Ishwara. Right? Because Ishwara is not your creation. The jiva itself is created in Ishwara. Everybody see that? So let's look at this next verse then. Anapanutyalokastat Indrajalam idantati Indrajalam idantati Janam chevanat Anapanutya Janam chevanapat nutya Bhogam Bhogam mayat vadhistata Bhogam mayat vadhistata Anapanutya Lokaha tat indrajalam idam tu iti jananti eva anapatnutya bhogam mayatva di mayatva dehi tata. He says anapatnutya, having not covered, having not hidden, lokaha. Here lokaha means not worlds, it means people. Lokak means people or worlds. Lokaha, namatya plural. People, having not covered that, having not covered it, having not covered the jagat, for instance, or in a magic show, indrajalam iti tu iti jananti eva. They will know jananti. They will know, iti says, what will they know? This is Indrajalam. This is magic. You know? This is but magic. Indrajalam etattu. This is but magic. Right? So even, can you take it as the, as a jnani knowing the creation? Or as a, somebody watching a magic show. Watching the magic show and they know it's a magic show. Right? So both are there. It's not that the magic show covers it's not that by their knowing it's a magic show, right, that the magic show goes away. They can, knowing it's a magic show, they can still experience the wonder of the magic show. Think of really a real magic show. Okay, so you go and you're watching this magic show. You know that it's magic. You know that it's nitya. You know, you understand the whole thing, and you still experience it. You still experience the magic. You still experience the illusion, even though you know very clearly what it is. The same way for jnani, even though people, they, you know very clearly this is mitya, you know it's the maya, upadi, you experience that very, you know it very, very clearly, and still it is there being experienced. So that's what they say here. So knowing this is Indrajalam, this is but magic, says. So he says now here, anapanutya, the same way, having not covered bhoga, this, having not covered the creation, the bhoga, the enjoyment of the creation, it's not covered, it's still being experienced. Mayatvadihi tata. Similarly, the one who has this maya buddhi, right, sees everything as maya, having not made the creation disappear, the creation hasn't disappeared at all, still that bhoga is there, the experience is there, right? Even though the mayatva buddhi, the person who has the mayatva buddhi, not covering the creation, having not covered the creation, experiences the creation, right? Knowing all along, this is but Indrajalam, this is but Maya. Maya buddhi, the mayatva buddhi means that person, Subhuvrihi, the person who has that knowledge that this is all Maya, that person still, knowing that this creation, that knowledge, it doesn't cover this creation, and then one goes on to experience it. Knowing it, you experience it. That's the thing. So there's nothing more to that. It's just what we've been talking about. But there's a doubt which I've kind of already introduced that's going to come up. There's a doubt because some people do think that is not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be not that you gain knowledge and continue to experience the creation and that the prarabdha continues and you continue to have all of the different enjoyments, experiences that the creation provides by your prarabdha. They really think, no, the creation should disappear. And then Vidyaranya knows this can be a problem. And so he cites a verse from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which can be interpreted in that way, in the way that say there shouldn't be the creation, you shouldn't be experiencing the creation, as a doubt, bringing up a doubt. It's from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Yatvatvasya jagat swatma, pashet kastetra kenakam, pashet kastetra kenakam, kim jagret, kim vedadvaiti, kim jagret, kim vedadvaiti, jagret, kim vedadvaiti, srutautu bahughoshitam, srutautu bahughoshitam, yatra tu asya jagat swatma, pashet kaha tetra kenakam, kim jagret, kim vadet va iti shrutau tu bahugoshitam. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there's a verse, the last half of this is a line from the last half of the rather long verse in the Brihadaranyaka. It says, where, yatra where, to whereas, asya, for that person, for whom the jagat, swa-atma. Where, in which sthana, for the jnani, for the person who has knowledge, that's the yatra. So in that sthana, in that state of understanding, you know, where a person win, like a person has knowledge. And what is that knowledge? And for that person, the jagat, the creation, is oneself. Jagat, swa-atma. The creation is oneself. That's a jnani, and that's a dvaita. So for that person for whom this whole creation is myself, it says, for that person, kaha pashet. There, in that state, kaha pashet, who sees? Kaha pashet, who sees? And what do they see? Who sees what? Kaha pashet kam, who sees what? And with what? Who sees what and by what? Because the only thing that's there is the self. Right? So for the person for whom this whole jagat has become only one's own self, who sees what and how? By what? Kim jagret, who smells? What do they smell? Right? Kim vadet, what do they say? How can they even speak? How can they talk? Because there's nothing there but the Atma, right? So he says, if the Shrutau in the Shruti, to indeed the Bahu Ghoshitam, this is often stated, this is often, Bahu means often, this is often declared in the Shruti, you know, that there's just Advaita, for the one who has knowledge, right? Then this jagat is one's own self. So this is the Purvapaksha. The idea is this. If that is so, you know, how can there be any experience of duality at all? There shouldn't be. It should be that knowledge negates the prarabdha. Knowledge negates the experience of dvaita. Because you recognize the whole thing just as myself. And then recognizing it all as myself, how can there be any seeing or experiencing or talking or smelling or touching or tasting? Because there's only one Atma now. But that type of dvaita shouldn't take place. And so now, let's see the next verse continues. Tena dvaitam apadnutya. Tena dvaitam apadnutya. Vidyode tena chanyata.
Vidyode tena chanyata.
Tatacha vidisho bhogaha. Tatacha vidisho bhogaha. Katam syat iti chetranu. Katam syat iti chetranu. So here he puts voice to this, the doubt that this verse brings up, this Brihadaranyaka verse brings up. He says, because of that, dvaitam apanutya. Because of this, it's having covered, having hidden the dvaita, vidya rises. Knowledge rises. Covering the dvaita. Because now the knowledge has taken place. The only thing that is there is the Atma. So from this verse, you see that the dvaita itself is hidden now. Because the whole jagat, that's how they think, the whole jagat now has just become the Atma. Now there is only for me, there is only the Atma. So what is there seeing? What is there smelling? What is there tasting? What is there talking? Everything now has just become the Atma. That's how it is. So vidya now has displaced, or has hidden the dvaita by that. It says, nacha anyata, and it can't be otherwise. That's how it has to be. So it says, and therefore, tatacha vidushaha bhogaha katam syat. And that being so, how can there be any experience for the vidvan, for the one who has knowledge? How now can there be any experience? Right, because all that's being experienced is the Atma. The only thing that is there is the Atma, all of the seer-seeing duality is gone. Who is seeing what? The Atma is seeing the Atma, is experiencing the Atma by the Atma. And so there's nothing there but the Atma. Right, so any type of dvaita has now been negated. There is no such experience. So Vijayaranya says, if this is your doubt, chetranu, then please listen. Okay. So,
okay.
So it says, Sushupti Vishaya Mukti, Sushupti Vishaya Mukti, Vishaya Vasruti Sputi, Vishaya Vasruti Sputi, Uktam Swapiyasam Patyoho, Uktam Swapiyasam Patyoho. Yeti Sutre, Yeti Sputam. Yeti sutre, yeti sputam. This is a little technical, but I'll just do it quickly. What he's doing now is saying, he's citing a Brahma Sutra, one of the sutras from the Brahma Sutra. In the Brahma Sutras analyze all of the different shrutis. Every shloka, every verse, every word that there might be any doubt about in all of the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, the Brahma Sutras go through and analyze to tell exactly what is meant by these different verses. And this verse from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this particular Brahma Sutra tells what that verse means. Because this verse can be misunderstood. And this particular verse, this Brihadaranyaka, can be misunderstood in the same way that yogis are continually misunderstanding, having the same misunderstanding that if I'm enlightened, the world should disappear. We've heard this has been passed down to us in so many stories. If I'm enlightened, the world disappears. And so therefore, you may all be talking to me, and I might look like I have a body and sense organs and I'm talking and seeing, but actually from my experience, I'm not seeing anything, I'm not saying anything, I'm not talking, I'm not experiencing the world, I'm enlightened. It only looks to you like I'm experiencing the world. This is a notion that some people have. I can't, if I'm really enlightened, all I'm experiencing is myself, and so therefore there is no experience of duality. The knowledge of myself has hidden the duality. You're all experiencing me, I'm not experiencing you. Literally. Anybody hear this or been exposed to this at all? It would be like, because I've actually heard people actually believe this. It would be like, say I'm viewed by you as an enlightened being.
Okay.
So here I am. The enlightened being is sitting here. And you're hearing me talking and you're seeing me look at you. Right? But I'm not. I'm really not. I'm really not, because all I'm experiencing is the Atma. And so even though these things are taking place, I'm not experiencing them, even though you are, because you're ignorant. Because since you're ignorant, you know, you still have the experience of Dvaita. But I'm not ignorant. And so I don't have the experience of Dvaita. And what does that mean? Is that this isn't here. I'm not seeing it. That's the idea. So that's one level. I've heard this argument. This is all what he's talking about here. There's another one, is if I'm, this is kind of the Ramana Maharshi, when he was younger, type of argument, that if I'm really enlightened, then I will just be like in samadhi. And I won't come out.
You can't open your
And
eyes.
If I'm less in samadhi, if I'm not quite, it's a hierarchical thing. Like, if I'm kind of on my way towards liberation, more and more time will be spent in that non-dual samadhi state. And in that non-dual samadhi state, the world is not present. Right? And that's true. If I'm sitting in samadhi, in the sense that I've resolved my mind, right, at that time, in samadhi, the world is not present. Right? There's no perception of the world, because my mind and my sense organs have been withdrawn. There's no perception of the world. There's also, as you'll get into this argument, there's also no perception of the world in deep sleep. Right? Samadhi and deep sleep, there's no perception of the world. Right? That's true. But what he's saying, now what he's saying here in this verse, he says, Shushupti vishaya mukti vishaya va shrutihi tu iti. He says, uktam swapiya sampatyoho iti sutre. This swapiya sampatyoho is the beginning of the Brahma Sutra. And what it says is that in the deep sleep state and in samadhi, right? In the deep sleep state called Swapya, its subject matter is, its sphere is deep sleep, right? In Sampati, it's Nirvikalpa Samadhi, okay? In these two states of experience, there is no perception of the world. That is absolutely true. If you have Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you know, even at the time if knowledge takes place and you have a Nirvikalpa Samadhi at that moment, there is no perception of the world, you know. There's no problem with that. He says, that's true, okay. But that's all that's meant. It doesn't mean that once you open your, if you open your eyes or if you're awake, that there's no perception of the world. It's only if you're in samadhi, you know, or if you're sleeping, the mind is resolved, there's no perception of the world. And that's what's being referred to in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We'll do the next verse next time, but just to say where he's going to go, he says, otherwise you're really in trouble, because if you think, if it were to be true that when you gain knowledge, the world disappears because now you're seeing only the Atma, then of course there can't be a teacher. Right? There can be no teacher. He says, Yajnavalkya and all these people, nobody can be a teacher now. All the teachers are destroyed because,
They all disappear.
If they're seeing the world, then they don't know. And if they're not seeing the world, they can't talk. So that's exactly what he said from his next verse. And then he goes on with a series of arguments. Let's stop there. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Seems that it's very, there's no rational thinking in the whole idea that, you know, you have, get the nishtha, that you just cease to